Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Today, we are going to be traveling into what so often is considered a world of imagination, but it's imagination that has clout and power. What is it we're going to be exploring? Dreams. And we're going to be exploring the world of children at the same time. My guest is Denise Baudette, and she's been a researcher and lecturer in the fields of developmental psychology and children's dreams for over 30 years. She started a career as a kindergarten teacher in Canada and in France, and then she went on to expand into teaching creativity and child development at the Laval University in Quebec City. She has found that the world of children's minds and their dreams has created a world for her. I want to welcome Denise to the show. Hello, Denise.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, you must give me the correct pronunciation of your last name. I hope I didn't butcher it.
It's Baudet.
Baudet.
Yes.
Thank you. I just needed to be corrected.
All these letters, E-A-U, make only one sound, O.
Wonderful. I have never learned French, so I just needed to be educated. Denise, your book, The Dream Guider, I found very, very interesting. I know dreams have had a phenomenal impact on my life. It was the catalyst that got me involved in the world of mind.
Mm-hmm.
But you especially decided you wanted to explore the world of children. And children often have a very difficult time communicating with adults. What was it that spurred this curiosity about the world of children and what they are going through when they dream?
As you mentioned, my field is developmental psychology, so I had a lot of education in child psychology. And I was in a PhD program, and I read this article by an anthropologist named Kilton Stewart, where he was talking about a tribe in Malaysia named the Timyar, or which is a group of the Senoi, and the parents there, or the adults, were, as you were saying, teaching children the art of dreaming or how to be dreamers. And if a child, for example, dreamt of falling in a dream, the adult would say, "This is a magnificent dream. Where did you fall? What have you discovered?" And if the child said, "I woke up in fear and I, you know, didn't go anywhere," the adult would say, "This is an error. The next time you dream of falling, try to surrender to the movement of falling." And the adults knew that eventually the child would discover the joy of flying in dreams. And it just seemed to me so fresh, something so true, and I just felt called to pursue this and explore how our children who are not taught the art of dreaming fare in their dream worlds. How do they encounter the witches and monsters of their dreams? And that is what set me on my search and up to now. And I did initially a research and studied how children proceeded in their dreams and what strategy they used when they were encountering challenges in their dreams. And I always wanted to write something for the general public and for parents where I would encourage them to play the role that these adults were playing in that tribe. Of course, it needs to be adapted because we're not in the same kind of society at all. But I think we can learn from them and see how we can bring to our modern world and with all its complexities some of the learnings that withdrew from their practice.
The Sonoy as a people, apparently there has been quite a bit of documentation done on many aspects of their culture, but to have a culture that encourages communication between child and adult in this manner is marvelous. I can think back in my environment when I was growing up, this was never something that was discussed, and I've known a number of clients who, when they would try to talk about their dreams, and again, this is in the Western environment, or would talk about particular experiences that they had, were just made fun of, they were told to keep their mouths shut. So what you're bringing forth is the understanding that when we can take our own personal filters off, those of us that have experienced certain aspects of environment and cultural training, when you can do that and allow your child to communicate with you, and one of the tools I found that was just great, and I don't know if you've ever used this, is to encourage children to draw whatever it is that they see.
Mm-hmm.
And color and design will just open up an abundance, and they seem to like to talk when they are drawing. They really like to be able to communicate that way. Every child is unique and different, I found.
Mm-hmm.
But you bring forth so much good information. You talk about a child therapist, Richard M. Jones, that wanted teachers to use children's dreams for educational purposes. Tell us a little bit about this man, because he really was way ahead of his time.
Yes, he emphasized the importance of steering away from the habit that we have in the West to interpret the dreams and to receive the dreams as they are and as a product of a child's imagination. And I mean, just try to see instead where we can go with the dream in a creative way, you know, to try. Some people have used dreams with children to write poetry or to act out the dream or to draw the dream, as you were suggesting earlier. I think the most important thing is to stop this belief that every dream has to be interpreted. I think a lot of the dreams need to be taken as an experience per se, the same way we would do with a life, an experience in waking life, and it needs to be just appreciated and talked about the way we would about another life experience. You know, what happened, or what would you do if it happened again, or, you know, how did you feel about that, and so on. And sometimes just receive it and just say, thank you so much for sharing me the dream. Just simply be receptive and make room for the child as a dreamer so that he or she continues to share the dreams and, most importantly, have a relationship with his or her dream world, which is really the road to, you know, our larger self and our soul. And so that's what is so important.
You say you want people to know that there is a path where you can take dream time into awake time and awake time into dream time. And you go into information about infants. Now, I've always been aware of this, that from the moment a child is born, they are so aware of everything that's going on around them. I know they may not be able to express themselves in a verbal context. They are constantly experiencing, and it was proven in research that little babies are dreaming the eye movements that they have mm-hmm. that go on. Talk about what you call the dream smiles of the infant.
Mm-hmm. Research has shown that the type of sleep that we adults are in when we dream, which is called REM sleep or rapid eye movement, because our eyes move back and forth while we are dreaming. Researchers have discovered that infants spend most of their sleep, I would say that infants, let's say 60% of their sleep time in REM sleep, where by comparison to us, adults, we spend 20 to 25% of our sleep time in REM sleep. So as we go back in time, the time that infants spend in their sleep is increases. It's always more significant. And a newborn spends, 65% of his or her time in REM sleep. And before birth, it's 80%. So it's very fascinating to think that we are, I think, my phrase for this is like we are born from the dream. I think we, whatever state of consciousness we tap into when we dream, I have the sense that when we go back in time, we are more and more in that state of consciousness. I'm sure that our differences between what an infant is capable of in that state by comparison to an adult, because a lot of the capacity to create images, for example, is probably not formed earlier in our lives. But there is a presence, there is a state of consciousness that is there right from the start. And in a way, I like to think of when we dream, you know, we kind of go back home where we came from.
Mm-hmm.
We reconnect with that state, and that's why it's often so such a blessing in some of our dreams.
Children, when they're small, and they'll talk about dreams, and it's, again, very important not to make a judgment, but to be able to be a good listener and not to make fun of a child when they're telling you about their experiences. There is so much that goes on in the mind that when a child can comfortably communicate with a parent, or an adult around them that doesn't make fun of them, it really is significant. I know how important it was with my 8-year-old granddaughter when she was having experiences that it scared her. And I just sat and talked with her about it because of my background. It's something I totally have an empathy with. And she was so much more comfortable after that. She would talk and would give information. She was a very, very vivid dreamer. Now, she was 8 years old. Now, often, you said, with children, they don't want to talk about dreams so much as they start getting older because the everyday realities of societal training and schooling and everything else start taking a very significant positioning. And so they don't give as much attention to it. What is the difference as they get older? What happens when they are dreaming and they start to communicate with the dream? What are the tendencies of thoughts that they have towards this?
Do you mean by comparison to the younger children?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. First of all, I want to go back. At the beginning, you mentioned how hurtful it can be to make fun of a child who shares a dream or an inner experience.
Mm-hmm.
And or another thing that's very hurtful and they're very sensitive to is sometimes parents will tell their inner experience or their dreams to someone else because they don't take it seriously. And for the child, and even for us adults, if we respect our dreams, we know how real it is and how intimate. It's very intimate, in fact, because it's a very interior experience. And also, young children experience these dreams as real. I mean, even I believe they're real too. It's so real and vivid for them that it's very jarring if they're told that it was just a dream or it's not important, just forget about it. It devalues what they have had the experience of as something, you know, significant and real, and often loaded with, you know, tremendous feelings a lot of the time, sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so now, when they're 5 or 6, they blossom as dreamers. It's a wonderful time for dreaming. But I think that when they go to school, yes, the logical thinking, they develop their logical mind, and all of the training that they get in school, most of it still emphasize, you know, logical thinking by contrast to imaginal thought.
Mm-hmm.
And so they tend to, I think, gear away from contact with this part of themselves. And I think if your granddaughter as an 8-year-old was still a vivid dreamer, I think it's a wonderful and a tribute to her and to her family also to have, you know, made room for her to stay in touch with her dream world and her dream self. But I think when we keep the door open, it continues. I see it also with my own daughter, even as a grown up now. I still hear, receive phone calls from her once in a while to say, you know, do you have time? I've had a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's extraordinary. It's an extraordinary way of communicating with our children. The word would be more communing with them, because when they share a dream, we have a instant picture of where they are in their emotional life and in their inner world in a way that it would take hours for them to communicate through words. And they might not even have the words to name it, because often we don't. Things are going on at a deep level emotionally inside of ourselves, and we can't, until it has surfaced, you know, are able to name it. But the dream captures the feelings and give us an image, give us a representation in the form of an image, and that is so, you know, precious.
You have a child, you were talking about, Catherine, and she was just turning 6 years of age. You ask her some questions. When you dream, where is your dream? Where is your dream? And she said, it's in my head, but we always think that it's true when we sleep. Me, that's always what I do. You ask the question, is the dream in you or in your room? And she responded, in me. And then you ask, when you dream, is there something in front of you? And she responded, in front of me. Well, yes, in the dream. It's possible if I dream of that. If I dream that my dream is in front of me, sometimes I dream of that. Then you ask the question, if your mommy came into the room when you were dreaming, could she see your dream? Her response, no. You questioned why. She said, because it would be in my memory anyway. And then you ask the question, if I were in your room when you were having a dream, could I see your dream? She said, no, just like my mom, because it would be in my memory anyway. And then if someone could open your head and look into it when you're having a dream, could they see your dream? No, because it's just something I think all by myself. We cannot even see it in the head. This is an extremely intelligent child and a very articulate child.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in today's world, we underestimate the capability of our children to really understand a lot of the things that are going on. She is so clear about her knowing that this is her experience. It doesn't belong to anybody else, but she's happy to share it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I think that's marvelous.
Yes. It's interesting to see how children gradually sort out a phenomenon as complex as dreaming is. It is very complex, and you know, because we're in touch with different levels of reality. And so, yes, I think children have surprise us constantly in their depth of understanding of you know, psychic processes and dreams and many other things.
Now, you say that parents should become the child's scribe. I found that that was a very interesting approach. So if you could keep a notebook where your children dictate the dream, and kids are good at dictating. They don't have any qualms about doing that. But you also said, as we discussed earlier, let them draw out what they see.
Yes. Yes. Even if they tell the dream, it's sometimes very interesting to invite them to draw the dream. And that could also be another way, you know, have them draw their dreams. It takes time, and when they're little, right, to draw.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they get involved, and so it's not always available for them to have. We don't always have the time or the means or the circumstances. But even if it's only occasional, it's wonderful, and it adds definitely a dimension to a dream journal if we keep a dream journal with our children. to me, the dream journaling, the opening the door, it's a way to communicate to a child that we value them as dreamers and we value them as dream tellers. You know, we don't need to put words on it. The fact that we sit down and take the time to write what they have told us is what indicates to them that we value it.
I agree.
Yeah.
There's a couple of points that I wanted to bring out. One is that you have been teaching dream work to women, or there are some women, excuse me, teaching dream work to women in prison. And I think this is quite significant because with an adult, it is very valuable too. It would be different in response, but that could be very liberating for someone that is in what would be considered an extremely confining environment. Who was the woman that did this?
Her name is Patty. Her last, Sarah Patty. So yeah, that was not me. It was her, this woman who did that. I did teach dream work to many, women and gave many workshops and so on over the years. But yeah, this is very interesting. And I think that you're right that it would be, if you are in a confined situation, what a wonderful way to expand your space and your consciousness as if you're confined outwardly. I think it's a very generous endeavor that she took upon herself to do. Yes.
Do you know if there were some particular experiences that she had that showed that what she was doing really had value for those inmates?
I do not know, because my interaction with her was more focused on the dreams of her child. So I can't say more on that, no.
You talk about a symbol which so many of us are very, very familiar with. It's the Native American Dream Catcher. And it's a wonderful, wonderful tool, I think, to use for a subconscious stimulus, especially if a youngster is having some problems with dreams. And this is something that can be the stimulus to give them a sense of security and peace, especially if they help make it. And I liked the suggestion of that. And you also said one of the things to encourage dreaming with a child is to be aware of the room. To be aware of the colors you have in the room and maybe put stars on the ceiling or create something that's just going to be magical when they turn the lights out. And there's so many wonderful products out that you can do this with today.
Yes, true.
And then you talk about telling stories, creating evening where you don't have the television going on, where you have that reading time with the child, which I know there are so many parents that are just really very, very supportive of that. They really like that routine. And it creates a wonderful communication opportunity between the parent and the youngster. And you say, put aside all electronic and digital devices. Just have a good old-fashioned book and share time and tell stories. Mm-hmm. That's a great way to wind down from a day.
Yes, yes, and there's such a wealth of books for children now available on the market and at the public library to, that can be used in those moments. And yes, I think it's very important to slow down before we go to sleep. And it's a way also to honor the night, honor the dream, and honor the traveling that we can do through our nights. And to make contact with our children before we go to bed, before they go to bed, and before we send them off. All of that, I think, also prepares them for the night, and it's the best way to be protected against also bad dreams and nightmares, I think, to have this warm contact before launching into the night.
And I know in the morning, usually kids will come in, and if you make this commonplace, if you have an interest in it, you share your dreams. Sometimes as adults, we may have dreams that are of a particular vividness that maybe we don't want to especially share with a young child. But when there's an openness with the family, whether it's mom and dad or it's a single-parent family, and you have friends and family members that share the same understanding, it really creates an openness for the development of the intuitive processes within this youngster's being and mind. And also, it actually will enhance the entire family in their process as well.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that, yes.
Yes.
We can all share our dreams within a family. And yes, be judicious in what we share. You're absolutely right. I think some dreams are inspiring, and a beautiful dream is a gift, not just for the dreamer, but for anyone who hears it. I mean, we hear, dreams from anybody, and I hear dreams from people sometimes on the airplane, and I never forgot about them, so
mm-hmm.
beautiful they were. I remember, I don't know if I can share one of these dreams, but there was
sure, go right ahead.
I was sitting next to a man one day, and I was told him what I was doing, and I was writing on children's dreams, and he said, he was in his, I would say, early 30s, and he told me a dream he had when he was probably 6 years old, and he was riding a white horse along the beach. He was naked, and he had long blonde hair all the way down to his waist. That was, I still remember that. It was still a star in his the sky of his inner life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a beautiful image. And
oh, I think
forgot
so.
About it.
Mm-hmm. That's really very special. There are times too when dreams can be precognitive, and I know as a child I had some.
Mm-hmm.
And when you experience those, there's no such thing as time or space, and it's amazing how, in retrospect, when you look back, you'll say, well, I dreamed about this. I saw it. But it came in the form of symbols. It came in different forms. And you talk about when you keep a dream journal with a youngster and you are able to write down their dreams as they dictate them to you, then if you take it just as they say it, verbatim, don't add anything to it, don't take anything away from it, you're going to come away so far ahead of most parents, because often there are subtleties of concerns or self-development or intuitive perspectives that reveal themselves over a period of time with these dreams.
Absolutely, yes. Often we see it in hindsight, and it's useful sometimes also if we have a particular concern. We can go back in the dream journal and sometimes find a dream that preceded a dream that is a concern, or if something is happening in the life of our child that is a source of concern to us, just going back to the dreams and seeing what the child has been dreaming for the last, few weeks or a month or two, and I'm sure that we can find indication of where the child is going or what indication of what may be happening at an intrapsychic level and at an emotional level. And I think our dreams, and I think if we are aware of the potential that dreams have to see ahead, in fact, I think of dreams as a picture of the present moment for the dreamer. But in each present moment, we're already incubating the future, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the present moment is colored, perhaps, and influenced by the past, but it's also preparing for the future. So. Because of that, definitely our dreams anticipate the future, and it can be a good thing to, when we think of a dream, to look at it from the perspective of potentially giving us information about the future.
And my guest today has been Denise Baudet, and her wonderful book is Dream Guider. And it is something that when you read it, you look at it with the perspective of a children's world, a child's world. However, what you will find is that as an adult, you can relate to a lot of it, but it will enable you, if you have young ones in your household, to be able to be more receptive and open to their sensitivities, to their experiences, and enrich their life. Denise, do you have a website?
I do not yet. I apologize.
All right. Well, this publication is by Hampton Roads Publishing. Dream Guider is the title of the book. The cover is just beautiful. Denise, I want to thank you for being my guest today. It's been Denise Baudet, and that's spelled B like boy, E-A-U, D like Donna, E-T. Go and look at it, because if dreams are important to you, this is a book you might want to add to your library. Again, Denise, thank you for being with me today. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be back in just a moment.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.DelphiInternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Pete Smith here with Orthotemp Health Shoes. These funky-looking shoes, invented by a medical doctor, will make you feel better. Who has time to work out these days? Wear our sandals or clogs around the house. Go shopping, wear them on the treadmill, you'll burn extra calories, you'll tone and trim the legs, thighs, lower abdomen, rear end, your love handle area. You'll simply feel better. Check them out on the web at orthotebb.net.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Hey, we've got a caller on the line waiting, and those phone lines are open. If you'd like to chat with me today, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here are the toll-free telephone numbers. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. And worldwide, the telephone number is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756 from anywhere in the world. Now, quick like a bunny, before we go to our first caller today, I want to let you know, those of you that are up in Alaska, I'm going to be in Anchorage as well as Fairbanks. And in my newsletter, I'll be putting out information about all of those details. Also, at the end of March, we have a fabulous event in the Seattle area. It is the Northwest Women's Show. Wow, is this going to be an exciting event? I can't tell you how excited I am. We are even going to have a girls' talk forum, and yes, I am going to be bringing some people in that will be sharing all kinds of information with you. So, if you want to have more information about the Northwest Women's Show, then go to the PacificNorthwestWomenshow.com. You can just do NWWomenshow.com. You'll find out about all kinds of information. And if any of you might be interested in assisting me in my booth, I'm going to be in booth 406. Hey, give me a call at my office. Free passes and lots of good things will be going with it. So give me a buzz at 800-872-8852 if you're in the Seattle area or any of the communities thereabout and you would like to assist me during the show, which is the 27th, the 28th, and the 29th of March. Oh, I've got so many exciting things that are going on. And then we're getting it together little by little. I've got a class on April the 25th in Tacoma, Washington. It's going to be a Saturday, April 25th. More information is coming up. It's going to be called Mind Vision. Ah, yes. And I'll keep you in suspense. We're getting things, like I said, all put together for that. But that's coming up sooner rather than later. How does time go by so fast? My gracious. Let's go to our first caller today. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, my first initial is Kay, and I'm in L.A., Los Angeles.
In L.A., I was just down there. The sun's shining now, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, my goodness. That liquid gold that you had is just worth its weight and then some. So
yes.
I'm delighted that you're calling in. That is terrific. Kay, the first thing that I'm looking at with you is a lot of hard work. And I know inside you're probably groaning, say, Donna, that's the story of my life, for heaven's sakes. Isn't there going to be an easier way? No, not really. You're going to earn every blessing that comes your way. But I want you to know something. You actually have been going through a process these last 10 years of refining your direction. Now, that may seem like a long time to go through this. But every one of us follows our own unique path. And as I'm watching you, Kay, I'm looking at you being able to sift the wheat from the chaff. And you're saying, I really have a better idea now more than at any other time in my life of what's most important to me. Now, you're going to be going about the business of doing what you have to do, whether it's cleaning the toilets, taking care of things on the job. Basics are basics, and that doesn't bother you. But you're really wanting to step up to this level of expansion, stepping up to what I would call the bigger picture, the bigger vision. Well, I want to encourage you to do some brainstorming with some people because I think it'll save you a lot of time. And if you're willing to invest the time, effort, and energy in yourself, if you can, maybe get with a couple of people that you really know are organized, they're doers, and you can just have brainstorming sessions. Maybe, you know, pick one or two days in a week and say, we've got to work this out. I'll treat you to, you know, 5 swim fasts for the day or whatever. And I'm just joking when I say that. But it seems like you and your girlfriends are always looking at some way of losing weight. But anyhow, I'm just saying, whoever you brainstorm with, say, look, I'm going to do this, but I need this from you. I want you to be totally candid, and you need to do it with people that you know are clear in their thinking. You don't want any woo-woo stuff, and you don't want somebody that's got this wild, vivid imagination that would just take you off into la-la land somewhere.
Yeah.
You need to really deal with the practical side, hon,
And you know what? I think you can turn around, make some shifts, and you'll see such clear direction. It will amaze you. And one thing I'd like for you to do is to tape what your conversations are with these people.
Okay.
And have an outline before you go into it. Say, this is where I am, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. This is where I want to see myself, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I know that getting from this particular level to this level is going to take some adjustments. Let's brainstorm and take each subject matter individually. And nothing is bad. All the brainstorming in the world, you just put it out on a piece of paper or talk it, you know, so it's on the tape. All the brainstorming. Because many times some of the best ideas come out from that kind of brainstorming. An idea, a concept, and it's just like, holy Joseph, do you realize we've gone 180 degrees different from what we originally started out with?
Yeah.
So if you do this, and sometimes it's good to have a whiteboard where you can just write on something, you know, just put it. If you have a room, like maybe it's your house or an apartment, and you say, let's do this, and we're just going to be comfortable, and we'll set a timer for 2 hours, and this is what we'll brainstorm on, is A. And you brainstorm. No limitations, nothing stupid, purple rabbits, you know, whatever you want to talk about, whatever goes out. It's just boom, 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 and you write it down on that whiteboard.
Okay.
Then you do it with the next thing, and then you go to the next thing. And there will, all of a sudden, out of the blue, be a cohesiveness that will boggle your mind. It's a whole different way of thinking.
Yes, I love that.
Does
I'm going to try that. It's going to start tonight, or I'll try to meet up with people starting this weekend.
Well, set it up so it's really time-oriented, so
okay.
that it's not, when you do it, make sure you're doing it with just a few people.
Okay.
Don't try to do it with a whole bunch of people.
Okay.
Just with a couple of people. And have them all in the same, you all need to be in the same place when you do this.
Okay. Oh, be in the same place?
Be in the same place. Don't
okay.
do it one day with one person, one day, no. There needs to be two or three of you. Actually, three would be best. Five would be max.
Okay.
But I think you have got a brainstorming solution that would be just terrific. And what it would do, it would enable you to do this with someone else, if they said, gee, I really like how this work is working out for you, and then you touch bases. You know, what has happened? Where do we need to go from here? And remember something. When you're getting a concept, it's okay to have that concept,
yes.
but it's not in concrete.
Okay.
You can always change. You may find a week after you do this, there's something you listen to, maybe after you tape the session, you go, no, you said something. And I just can't shake it. It's just hanging in my brain. And so you brainstorm over it, and it's an aha that makes you shift 45 degrees maybe from where you started.
Oh, that's beautiful. This is what I've been looking for.
Oh, that's terrific. See, isn't it wonderful to talk to genius?
Yes. And is this the same way that I can brainstorm and do things in regards to what I'm wanting with relationship-wise? Because I noticed that I'm also looking at the way I do my business. I've noticed that a lot of people come my way that I'm trying to manifest for long-term, you know, or at least short-term relationships with the opposite sex, and I'm noticing that I'm just not getting what I want because I'm too particular. Is it good to do that with just myself that way as well?
Well, let's take it from a different perspective. You've asked a very good question. Business is one thing. Personal relationships are something else. They're not computers. Okay?
Yes.
You don't have delete buttons with human beings.
Right.
And it's, well, I guess you could, but, you know, it just doesn't work that way. With business, you're dealing with people also, but there's another aspect. We've got to take a break, hon. Would you stay with me?
Oh, certainly.
All right. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break for a moment. I'm going to come back and talk to Kay. And we're going to see if we can help her out there. And if you want to call in, here are the toll-free numbers, 877-876-5227 or 888
815-9756. We're going to be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
This is Pete Smith for OrthoTab Health Shoes. OrthoTabs are completely heelless, invented by a doctor, and you'll burn 3 times the calories of regular walking in our sandals, 2 times the calories of regular walking in our clogs. They help you tone and trim the entire leg, thighs, bums, lower abs, and love handle area. They offer symptom improvement for people with plantar fasciitis and low back pain. Check them out on the web at www.orthotab.net.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. We're going to go right back to Kay in California. Kay, are you still with me?
Yes.
All right, hon. Let's talk about relationships for a minute.
Okay.
Now, what we were talking about relative to brainstorming earlier, the key is that when it comes to attracting Mr. Wonderful in your life, that special person that you would perhaps like to have as a life partner, you need to take a bit of a different approach. And this is something that was shared with me many years ago. There was a chaplain on a college campus, and a young woman, very, very attractive, came into his office one day and said to him, "I'm sick and tired of being single. All I get are a bunch of ding-dongs, and when I do, they're all creeps. I can't stand this anymore. I want to get married." Well, he listened very quietly to everything she was saying to him, and he proceeded to ask her a very significant question. "Do you think you'd be a good wife?" Well, that set her back, because that was something she had to think about for a minute, because nobody ever asked her that question. Her response was, "Yes, I do think I would be a very good wife." And he said, "Well, why do you want to be married?" And so she was very specific. She really wanted a partner. She did not want to just date. She wasn't interested in just living with someone. She really wanted to have a commitment. This was very important to her. So what he did, he asked her to get a pad of paper after she left his office and to take 4 pages of paper. And at the top of each one, write one at each one. One is for mental, one is for emotional, one is for spiritual, and one is for physical.
And he said, I want you to write down all the attributes that you would like in a spouse. So she did. She made another appointment. It was a couple of weeks later. She goes back in. She has all of her qualifications, if you will, written out on all four areas of topic. And they went over it, each and every line of it. And she found that some of the things that she had put down were not as important, but other things were. So he asked her some questions to make sure she had clarity. And then he told her, he said, put it all in an envelope now. Now that you have the clarity, put it in an envelope and then read it about once a month. And don't worry about meeting anyone. Well, as it turned out, it was about a year later. She was a junior in college at the time, and she was in her senior year. And she happened to be on a date with one of her less-than-desirable male friends, and they were going to a concert. They had gotten there early, and they had parked early because parking was tough. So they're there, and they end up sitting at a little coffee place that was right near campus before the concert. And this gentleman walks by, and he has an instrument case that he's carrying, and he comes up to them and asks them if they could help him. And they said, well, we'd be glad to if we can. And he said, well, I'm one of the performers in the concert this afternoon. And, of course, he said, well, we're going to be going to the concert. This is really exciting. He said, yes, I'm one of the performers, but I'm lost. I have no clue as to where I'm supposed to go. And they said, no sweat. We'll take you there. Well, anyway, she ends up, and her boyfriend at that moment, went with this guy to the concert hall. And they ended up having a very nice afternoon. Well, it was on campus that she comes into the chaplain's office, and she said, do you have a minute? And he said, yeah. So she sits down with him. She shows an engagement ring. And he said, oh, you're going to get married. She said, yes, I am. And he said, really? She said, yes, that's very true. He said, tell me the story. She told him about meeting this guy on campus. What happened is that after the concert, she was so impressed with this man, just walking with him and talking with him, she and her date went backstage, and they found she and this musician had a rapport that was just instantaneous. Well, as it turned out, they ended up dating, and that ended up being the man she married. And he had all of the qualities that she had itemized out. Now, someone may say, gee, that sounds like a Cinderella story. Not really. What the chaplain had told her is, and this is something for any of you listening, it doesn't make any difference if you're male or female. The same rules apply. When you put into your mind what it is that you want in quality and characteristics of a person, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, and you really think about it, and you give yourself the time to analyze over it, and maybe you talk to somebody about it if you want, if you have someone that will respect your privacy, but it's not a good idea to do it necessarily with your best friend, because they're going to have their own ideas about what's right and what's wrong, but it's not for them, it's for you. It's what you really want in the way of a significant other. You do that, and then let the universe bring that person to you. But your focus is on the quality of character and what it is that is most meaningful to you. And when you can get specific, it's amazing what will evolve. I'll share quickly a story because I know we're running out of time. There's one man that did this. He learned about doing this. He did it. He wrote 6 pages of fine line detail about his wife-to-be. He ended up getting married to a woman that was exactly the opposite of everything that he had on his list. Exactly the opposite. They were divorced within a year. 3 years after he made that list, he ends up meeting the woman that is today, 33 years later, his wife. She happened to discover the list, and when she discovered the list, there were only 2 points that she didn't fit.
Wow.
So I share that with you because it's a real story. These are real people, and it works.
Thank
you. I'm out of time, hon.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome, and thanks for calling in, and be sure and tell your friends about the show.
I will. Thanks.
You're welcome, Kay. This is Donna Sebo. My goodness, we're out of time. Hey, Teresa Tapp's going to be with us on Monday. Yes, fit and fabulous in 15 minutes. Oh, my goodness, she's going to have so much to share with us. Could hardly wait. And you can do the same thing. Hey, I toned up 25 inches with Teresa Tapp's system, and it's only 15 minutes a day. You can be fit and fabulous. Lots of great people next week. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo.
It is a good life. Count your blessings and realize that you are so fortunate to be the person you are because you have your own special story. And, hey, live it the way you want it to be. It's your choice, and it's your privilege. Have a fabulous weekend. Be safe. See you back here on VBS Radio, same time, same place, right here on The Donna Sebo Show. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.